The devil's trying to stop you, but you're here. You're watching a lot. And so we're glad about it. But we're going to lean into this word. So I'm going to ask us just to stand just for the reading of God's word in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 21. And here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release. Everybody say release. Release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began by saying to them, today, everybody say today, today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. Verse 18, he has sent me to proclaim release. I want to preach from this theme and thought as we have declared that this is the year of release. I need you to tell the person that you're standing next to my sermon title. Say, hey, neighbor, this is a year of release, which means release is here. Tell somebody else, release is here. Come on, celebrate what God's going to do, not just today, but this year, release is here. Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, for the word that you've already set for this house this year. May the word that is on this house, your people, your church corporately, may it be on our houses individually. God, I pray that you would speak to us in these brief moments together. Would you set the course for the rest of this year in this moment? In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. You can be seated. The year of release. Release is here. Not too long ago, family, Ariel and I, we went on a kind of a couple's date, a spa date, if you will. And she's big into, you know, all the spa appointments, the pedicures and manicures and massages and all that. I'm just like, I don't really know about all that. I'm good. But this time we went to this place, and because we had a spa appointment set up, to get reflexology done. That's just short in my book for foot massage. Now, for somebody like myself who does a lot of standing a lot and walking around, y'all, sometimes your pastor's feet be hurting. I'm not even gonna lie. When I get home too, and the word that he gave me was release, and it was interesting because as we pulled into the parking lot, I happened to look to my right, and in the parking lot there was a car that was parked there, and the license plate said release. And y'all, in that moment, I got so excited for two reasons. Number one, I've heard from God. Number two, if these people own this car, they also own this business, I can't wait to get this reflexology done. Because I'm going to experience a release. And y'all, let me tell you something, an hour later, after they poked our feet, prodded our feet, pressure points on our feet, y'all, my feet felt the best that they have felt in a long time. It felt like the Lord had just dispensed a measure of grace on the people who were serving us that day. It was like God had specifically anointed their hands to do exactly what they were doing. Praise God for people who are operating in their gifts and calling in the form of being able to provide reflexology. In Jesus' name. But when I thought about that, I thought about how as we went to this spa appointment and got reflexology and experienced this release of tension and soreness in our feet and ankles and things of that nature, I thought about that word release and what it really means. It means to set free. It means to allow to move or to flow freely. And as we're in this new year now, January of 2024, the question that comes to mind that I want to submit to us today to wrestle with and ask right now is, how many of us are living lives that are full of tension and restrictions and limitations? How many of us are walking around in life the way I was walking around on my feet? Filled with pain, discomfort, dis-ease, tension, limitation. I don't know if you've ever felt muscle soreness and muscle tightness and where you don't have the mobility and the range of motion like you might have normally had you not had that amount of tension. But when you have that soreness and that tightness, it restricts your mobility. And as I think about that, I think that many of us are here today on this first Sunday in 2024, if we're really honest. If you're really honest, there are some areas in your life and in my life where we are restricted, where we feel as if we have been immobilized. It feels as if we're in a holding pattern. We're moving, but we're not moving forward. We're moving in the same direction over and over again. And it's maybe led to some frustration. It's maybe led to some tension. And as I think about that and wrestle with that question, brings us to Luke chapter 4, because here in this passage of Scripture, we see some of the same things ultimately happening. Because here in Luke 4, the Bible says in verse 16 that Jesus comes to Nazareth, which is the place where he was ultimately raised from childhood. And in verse 16, the Bible says that he comes to Nazareth where he was brought up, and as usual, he does something specific that the Bible says. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, I want to pause before we get into the rest of this message today. I want you to see something that I believe is noteworthy for us to copy and adopt and adapt into our lives that Jesus is doing. The Bible says that he had a regular routine of being present in the house of worship. Like usual, the Bible says, he had went to the synagogue. The synagogue in his day and time was a place where people would gather, where they would convene, where the word of God may be taught, where worship would take place. It was a place where people would gather to worship God. He had a routine of constantly being present in this physical space to connect with God through worship, just like many others did. And I want to say this. If Jesus made it a regular habit, let me say it like this, to go to church on a regular basis while he was on earth, shouldn't you and I make a regular habit this year of making sure that we're present in the house of God? Now, I want to let y'all know, y'all are already off to a great start. You are doing so well. Perfect attendance to start the year. But last year and last week, I talked about how 2024 needs to be the year that we stand on business, where we prioritize God above all things, where we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto us. And what does that look like? It means I prioritize the place or the house of God. It means I prioritize the word of God, but it also means I prioritize the purpose of God, all of which Jesus is doing here in this text. But also in Luke 4, it says that as Jesus is here, he stands up and he begins to read from the scroll, or what we may know as the book of Isaiah, one of God's major prophets all throughout the Old Testament. He's reading a portion of Scripture from what we know as Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 2. Here's what it says. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is ultimately reading what we see here in Luke 4 from Isaiah chapter 61. And the context in Isaiah, which was 700 years before Jesus would read this same scripture here in Luke 4, the context was that the people who were hearing these words were in a bad place. The context was that the people who were hearing this word in Isaiah chapter 61 were in a place of brokenness. They were in a place of being burdened. They were in a place of feeling oppressed. And the context in Jesus' time, y'all, is the people were experiencing some of the same things. Just like people were broken in Isaiah's time 700 years prior to this moment, people were also broken in Jesus' time. People were burdened. People were oppressed. People were hopeless. People were hurting. People were sick. People were far from God. People found themselves trapped and stuck in cycles of sin and cycles of dysfunction. And when I think about Isaiah's time, and when I think about Jesus' time, I can't help but to think it sounds very similar to our time. That just as people were in bondage and broken back in Isaiah's time and in Jesus' time, we are still dealing with the same things today. That we are still dealing with seasons and times of bondage and brokenness. We're still dealing with sickness, and we're still dealing with strongholds. We're still dealing with shame, and we're still dealing with sin. People are hopeless, and people are imprisoned spiritually and mentally and physically. Injustices are continuing to happen left and right. We live in a world where oppression is happening, where sickness is rampant, where people are stuck in cycles of sin and strongholds. And even shame. And some of you are here today and you're in that place. Some of us like, Pastor, I'm here in 2024, but I got the same struggles that I've had for 20 years. The calendar changed, but my life hasn't changed. The dates have changed, but I'm still dealing with the same chains that I had years ago or last year. And though some people may have been bound physically in their time, for some of us, it's not about a matter of being chained physically. Some of us are chained emotionally. Some of us are chained spiritually. Some of us are chained in our relationships. Your life isn't progressing. And maybe you've come into this year already saying, new year, same struggle. New year, same drama. New year, same foolishness. Nothing's going to change. Nothing is going to get better. Can I let you know something, family? This is what I like to call a prisoner's perspective. Because when I'm in bondage, I don't see things for how they could be. I only see things for how they currently are. And some of us are here today in 2024, online and in person, and you are in this place right now, and you are stuck. And you are in bondage. The tension has been insurmountable. The stress has been overwhelming. But I want to give you good news that in spite of the state and condition that you find yourself in, or that the people found themselves in Jesus' time and Isaiah's time, I want to let you know what verse 18 says. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to the release that you've been waiting on and looking for, it's not going to be found in any other person, in any other place. It's not going to be found in more money. It's not going to be found in a better job. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with getting a better job. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with more money. How many of us would love to have a little bit more money in our income? Come on. But what I'm trying to help you understand is you can have more money and still be in bondage. You can have a better job and still be in an emotional prison. I'm here to let you know that Jesus says he has come to bring release. He is the source of it. He is the originator of it. He is the author of it. He is the provider of it. And thank God that we don't have to go to Walmart looking for a release. We don't have to go to the club to look for a release. We don't have to go to a bottle to look for a release. We don't have to go to a blunt to look for a release. No, we can come to the one who is the great I am, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the one who has a release. He is the one who brings release. Thank God that Jesus gives us an invitation that we can experience the release that only he can give. I'm here to let you know in 2024, this can be the year of release for you. That how your life has been does not have to be how it will always be. And I love this because as we look in this passage of scripture, we see that Jesus is ultimately the answer to us experiencing release that we long for. So if you find yourself struggling in here, I want you to know that Jesus came for you. If you find yourself in doubt right now, I want you to know that Jesus came for you. If you find yourself dealing with anxiousness and anxiety, I want you to know that Jesus came for you. If you find yourself being in bondage to worry, I want you to know that Jesus came for you. If you find yourself feeling alone, feeling abandoned, feeling hopeless, I want you to know that Jesus came for you. He came for people who feel like giving up. He came for people who are lost in life. He came for people who are battling shame. He came for people who are struggling right now. I'm here to let you know, and I want you to write this down. If you find yourself in a low place, Jesus has come to lift you up. Find yourself in a really low place, Jesus says, I got you. I'm here to lift you up. And I love this because when we see this passage of scripture that Jesus is reading from Isaiah, y'all, it really is meant to be a source of encouragement for us, because it lets us know that no matter what we face and no matter what we are dealing with right now, that Jesus has come for us. And look at what the Bible says. The Bible says that he's come to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed. These are four different circumstances that you and I can find ourselves in. You can find yourself not being able to have vision and not being able to see your way forward in life. You can find yourself dealing with oppressive type of things. You can find yourself dealing with captivity in your mind and captivity in your heart. You can find yourself dealing with poverty. He's not talking about physical poverty necessarily. He's talking about a spiritual poverty and an emotional poverty. I'm here to let you know that no matter where you find yourself or no matter what end of the spectrum you find yourself in, Jesus has come to bring release to whatever situation you find yourself in today. As for some of you, that's your testimony, because in 2023, you found yourself in a whole lot of different circumstances, but thank God that he showed up in the middle of your circumstances and helped you and served you and blessed you and provided for you. And I just want to know, on this first Sunday in 2024, is anybody here grateful for the fact that Jesus did not leave you in your low place? No, he met you in your low place. He's here to give you hope. Jesus has come to bring release in your life. And the question that you should be asking is, what kind of release does he want to bring? I'm glad you asked. I want you to write this down. That the type of release that Jesus wants to bring, he wants to release faith into your life. He wants to bring forth a release of faith. Everybody say faith. Why is this so important to say? Now understand, let me just preach it from my heart. Because some of you are here today and you have no faith at all. Your hope has gone out the window. You stopped hoping 10 years ago. You stopped hoping months ago because of some setbacks maybe that have happened. Because of some broken hearts that you've experienced. Because of some loss maybe that you've experienced. And what Jesus says here is he has come to proclaim good news to the poor. That phrase, good news, is where we get our other English word, gospel. That word gospel means good news. This was a term that wasn't even coined by Christians. It wasn't even something that, quote unquote, Jesus created. It was actually a terminology that was used in the first century Greco-Roman context in the Roman world that was governed by Rome. And what would happen was whenever there would be a new emperor or a new king, if you will, in Rome, they would send out messengers called apostles. And these apostles would go all throughout the known world and say, we have gospel. We got good news. That there's been a new emperor that has been established, and his name is Nero. But when the disciples catch wind of this in their day and time, they say, no. That's not true gospel. We got the real gospel. That there is a king, but his name isn't Nero. His name isn't Herod. His name is Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. We got good news. That your sins can be forgiven. We got good news that you could be a part of the family of God. We got good news that God has plans to prosper and not harm your life. We got good news that God wants to bring forth transformation to your life. And when Jesus says these words from the scroll of Isaiah that he's now bringing to us here in Luke 4, he says, I have come to bring you good news. I know that you've been filled with bad news. I know that you've heard report after report. I know the doctors have said one thing. I know your family has said another thing. I know friends have said one thing. But I'm here to give you good news. I'm here to bring you some hope. I'm here to stir up your faith, to let you know that there is a new king on the throne. There's a new king in the town. There's a new king on the scene, and his name is Jesus. He wants to give us something to hope in. He wants to give us promises to trust in. And I just want to know, is there anybody here that's grateful for the fact that we got a king named Jesus who has come to bring good news? And some of us, y'all, our minds have been conditioned by bad news for so long. And Jesus says, I've come to bring good news. Have you ever noticed how when you watch the news, Channel 10, Channel 13, Channel 3, wherever you're watching online from, there's always much bad news. Some of us are like, that's why I don't even watch news no more, Pastor. I don't need that messing up my energy. But they'll never have nothing good to say. Can I help you understand something? Jesus says he's come to bring good news. That no matter how bad things look, it can get better. No matter how far from God you are, you can be drawn close to him. No matter what you find yourself dealing with, it doesn't have to be the end of you. He's come to bring good news. And I can't think of a better way for us to start this year than by examining our faith. Where is your faith? How much faith do you have right now? For some of us, you're like, Pastor, I'm full of faith right now. My tank is on full. Matter of fact, that needle is past the F. But for some of us, Pastor Mott, my faith tank is on E. As a matter of fact, that needle is past E. You know how when you drive in your car and you're like, how long can I make it? And some of y'all know your cars real well. Somebody could be in your car and be like, that thing is on E. Like, no, I got about another 30 miles. I'm good. Good. For some of us right now, your faith is on fumes. Because of things that you've been experiencing. But he says, I've come to bring good news to the poor. And as I mentioned, when he says poor here, he's not just talking about people who are financially poor, even though that was true in his day and time. He's also talking more importantly about people who are spiritually poor, who don't have any hope at all, who are maybe disconnected from God, who have maybe given up on God. But can I let you know? You might have given up on God, but God hasn't given up on you. You might have stopped trusting, but God hasn't stopped pursuing you. You might have said, I'm done with him. I'm done with church. Can I let you know? You might be done with him, but he's not done with you. He hasn't given up on you. He hasn't thrown the towel in on you. You may have turned your back on him, but he hasn't turned his back on you. Some of us are here today, you're like, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. I want to believe, but I've done so much stuff in my life. God doesn't love me. Can I help you understand something? God's love for you isn't based upon what you do. That's human love. His love is not transactional. His love is eternal. Which means he loves you when you get it right, and he loves you when you get it wrong. He loves you when you read your Bible all day long. He loves you when you don't read the Bible at all for a whole month. His love for you hasn't changed. And some of us have had a warped understanding of God's love towards us because we have maybe brought a human understanding of love into a biblical understanding of love. That for people to love you, you have to perform your way into relationship. God says, there's nothing you can do to perform your way into me loving you. I love you simply because of who I am. And I love you simply because of who I made you to be. You have been made in my likeness and in my image. You are my son. You are my daughter. My affection for you has not changed. I love you with an everlasting love. So when Jesus says he's coming to bring good news to the poor, he's coming to bring hope. And some of us, that's going to be the key to you being able to persevere through this year, is your hope and faith, because you're going to walk through some moments this year that are going to blindside you. You're going to walk through some moments this year that you're not going to see coming. But if you hold on to God, but more importantly, remember that even when you feel like slipping from God and your hand is slipping from God, he has not lost his grip on you. I love the fact that my God, before I reached out to him, he was always reaching out to me. This is the year where he says, I'm going to release greater faith in you. Will you stop believing for small things and you believe big? This is why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, let's pull it up on the screen. It says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. Faith, some translations say, is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, it starts with hope, which then now gives birth to faith. And can I let you know something? Do you know what the enemy, what Satan, what the devil, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, is after more than anything else in your life? He's not after your kids. He's not really even after your family. He's not even after your job. Some of y'all are like, man, Satan gunning for my job. He don't care about your job. He don't care about your finances. You know what he's really after? Your faith. Your trust in God. Your hope. Because he understands, if I can mess with their faith and their hope, if I can get them to doubt God, then they don't walk in the promises of God. If I can get you to question God, to walk away from him, then you miss what he has for you. He's after your faith, which is why back in Genesis, what was the first thing that he said when he came onto the scene? Did God really say it? He's messing with trust. He's messing with faith. But I want to let you know something today. Jesus has come because he wants to strengthen your faith in this season. This message of gospel, this message of good news is to let us know that no matter how bad our life looks, it can be better. No matter how far from God we are, we can still come back home. I'm here to let us know that no matter where you are right now in life, no matter what you have come into 2024 with, I'm here to let you know that no matter what the enemy tries to tell you, the enemy will say your life can't get better. The enemy will say your life will always be this way. The enemy will always say that you'll never amount to anything. The enemy will always say that you're weird and that you're ugly and that nobody's ever going to like you. Nobody's ever going to be attracted to you. The enemy's going to bring all these lies. But when you begin to remember what God has said about you, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. When you begin to recite the truth, it increases your faith. It's his faith that he wants us to understand and grab a hold of. And Jesus has come to restore hope where it is absent. And his good news and his gospel is the catalyst for us to have hope. And there's a time in scripture where Jesus had this encounter with a father who had a demon-possessed son. And the father says, I brought my son to your disciples, Jesus, thinking that they could heal him, but they couldn't. And then he brings the son to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, if you can, heal my son. And here's what Jesus says in Mark 9:23 in response to what the Father says. Jesus said to him, if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. For some of us, that needs to be your thematic scripture for the year. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Everything is possible for those who believe. Meaning this, it may not look like a good situation, but I believe that God can change this situation. It may not look promising, but I know the God of the promise who is able to fulfill his promises in my life. And watch what the Bible says in verse 24. The Bible says, immediately the father of the boy cried out, I do believe. Help my unbelief. That's what some of us are right now. You need help with your unbelief. God, I know what your word says. But your boy is struggling right now. Your girl is struggling right now. Can I give you this encouragement? He wants to help your unbelief. He wants to take you from unbelief to belief. And you want to know one of the exercises that I do whenever I feel like the enemy is trying to attack faith and try to attack me trusting in God in a greater way? I begin to go back and look back at all the things that God has done over 38 years of my life. I begin to go back and look at how faithful God has been in seasons when I didn't know how things were going to work out. And what I recognize, y'all, is that when the enemy comes in like a flood and tries to detour or disrupt or discourage your faith, sometimes you got to go back and remind yourself of who God is. You got to remind yourself of how God answered last time's prayer. You got to go back and remember how faithful God was years prior. You got to go back and remember how God provided for you when you didn't know how it was going to happen. You got to go back and you got to remind yourself of the faithfulness of God. I was reminded of this when the family and I, we were watching a holiday movie like some of us may normally watch during the Christmas time, and we were watching this incredible movie by the name of Jingle Jangle, and one of the lead characters, her name was Journey. Amen. One of the lead characters, Journey, and her companion, they were in a tough situation, and she was telling him, hey, we got to do this. And he was like, I can't do this. And she said this quote, y'all, that I was like, this right here will preach in a sermon unto itself. And here's what she said. She said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. I said, girl, Journey, You preaching real good.
Can I help us understand something? You know, part of the reason why we haven't stepped into maybe what God wants us to step into is because you believe you can. The enemy stops you right at the door. For some of us, and this is, I'm going to get into my second point now. We don't just need a release of faith. We need a release of freedom in our life. Because for some of us, we've been in bondage for so long. Can I help some of us in here what we've been in bondage to? Some of us have been in bondage to a pessimistic and negative mentality. And we call it being real. But God's like, no, that's not being real. That's being foolish. Your realism has ruled me out of the equation. But for some of us, it might not be in being bondage to negative thinking. It might be, maybe some of us are in bondage right now to some habits, maybe to a substance. Some of us are in bondage right now to working. Some of us are in bondage to the opinions of people. You live and die by what people say about you. If people think you're good, you feel great. If people don't like you, you feel terrible about yourself. You've been in bondage for so long. And here's what I've recognized, y'all. When you and I are in bondage for so long, what's abnormal now begins to feel normal. Prison begins to feel like a palace because you've been in it for so long. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus says, I've come to set the captives free. I have come to set the captives free. I have come to not just set the captives free, but to bring forth freedom to the oppressed. And Jesus wants to free us spiritually and physically and emotionally and socially from the bondage that we have found ourselves in. Bondage meaning that I'm restricted. I can't move freely, unable to progress. Can I ask you a question today? Here's what I want you to ask this question to yourself and ask God to show you this during 21 days of prayer and fasting. God, would you show me areas where I'm in bondage to? You want to know a dangerous prayer to pray? Show me areas where I am in bondage that I think I'm actually free in. Because what some of us may be calling freedom is actually bondage. What areas am I in bondage to? Some of us are in bondage to generational patterns of dysfunction. There's certain things that we have adopted into our life because it was passed down from our parents and grandparents. My mama did it, my daddy did it, my granddaddy did it. That don't make it right and healthy. Everybody does it in my family. That don't make it right, though. Some of us are in bondage to a bitter heart. You're carrying bitterness around in your heart. You're in bondage to it. You think that not forgiving that person is going to make you feel better. Actually, it pushes you down further. Some of us are in bondage right now to anger and hatred, resentment. Some of us are in bondage right now. Let's be real. Come on, it's 2024. Pastor's going to keep it a stack this year for real. Some of us are in bondage to laziness. Oh, I don't got time. No, you got time. You just put it in other places. Come on, can we be real? This is 21 days of prayer. We're fasting, right? Some of us are in bondage to unhealthy eating habits. God, I'm praying for a supernatural release of the weight on my life. Jesus is like, it will not happen unless you take a step of faith and get in the gym. Changing, oh, you're not saying amen now? It's good. You're too real. Some of us are in bondage to worry. Anxiousness. In bondage to trying to control everything. In bondage to pride, where nobody can tell you nothing. Can't listen to nobody. Won't listen to anybody. Somebody try to offer you some correction. I know what I'm doing. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. Can I give you a little clue into when we say statements like that? When we have to make statements like that, it actually reveals a great measure of insecurity in our heart. Some of us in bondage in that. And y'all, here's what I recognize, because I've dealt with things like this myself and always have to do examination myself. Y'all, we can be walking and flowing in this way of life for so long and think it's normal and think we're free, but in all actuality, we're in bondage. But I want to let you know that Jesus has come to set you and I free of whatever has a hold on us. He came to set us free from our sin. He came to set us free from strongholds. He came to set us free from addictions. He came to set us free from shame. Aren't you tired of dealing with the same thing that you've been dealing with time after time? Come on, I want to know, where are my people right now? Say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of dealing with the same thing. I came into 2023 saying, I'm not going to do this year, but then I ended up doing it again. How many people are in here that are ready to walk in the release of freedom that God has for your life? This is the year when we walk in freedom. Here's the reason why we can stand on this truth. Why? Because Galatians 5:1 says it like this: for freedom, Christ set us free. This is why he came, to set us free. Watch what Paul says next. Stand firm then, watch this, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. In other words, when Jesus sets you free from it, don't go back to it. Jesus says, I've already opened up the prison gate and the prison door. You're free. Walk out. And when you walk out, don't walk back. Some of us, Jesus set me free from this toxic relationship. And he did. But then you went back. And now you're trying to figure out why your life is so crazy. You know what the Bible talks about when it says that? It's in the book of Proverbs. It says, it's like a person, it's like a dog returning to his own vomit. Y'all know the face that you just made? That's how it is when we return back to the bondage that he set us free from. It's like, why would you do that? Oh, who throws up and goes back to eat it? That's gross. Pause, but isn't that what we do though? He sets us free. He sets you free from the pornography addiction, but then you went back to the websites. He sets you free from the bottle, but then we went back to it. He sets you free from the opinions of people, but then you go back to it. He says, no. My son, my daughter, I want you to be free, and I want you to be free in such of a way where you recognize that what I have set you free from and what I have brought you into is much better than what you came out of. His grace is better. His love is better. His forgiveness is better. His patience is better. His mercy is better. He says, it's better. It's better. He's come to set you and I free. Here's what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. He says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has set us free from our sins by his blood. I don't know about y'all, but when I think about the blood of Jesus, I get excited. Because I know all the sins. Matter of fact, there's so many sins that I committed in my life. I lost count. I don't even remember them. But I thank God that the blood of Jesus has set me free from all of them, that has cleansed me of all of my sins, past, present, and future, that his blood has cleansed me. His blood is better than bleach. It has made me white as snow. I want you to write this down. Jesus has the power to get a hold of whatever has a hold on me. What is the thing that has a hold on you? I'm talking about that thing that you say, I'm not going to do it, but then I come back and do it again. I'm talking about that person that you say, I'm never going to talk to him again, but then I end up coming back and talk to him again. I'm talking about that habit that you say, I'm not going to do this again, but then you end up coming back to it. That's called a stronghold, but I'm here to let you know that he is able to get a hold of whatever has a hold on you. I'm here to let you know that whatever has a vice grip on you, it is not stronger than the power of God. It is not stronger than the presence of God. It is not stronger than the authority of God. Why? Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. freedom. You have to tell yourself that this is the year where I won't be bound anymore. I will be free in Jesus' name. I'm not going to be bound to this habit any longer. I'm not going to be bound to the opinions of people any longer. I'm not going to be bound to the limitations any longer. I'm not going to be bound to the lies any longer. No, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. This is my year to walk in freedom. That's the decision that I have to begin to make. I'm going to be free from toxic thoughts. I'm going to be free from my past. I'm going to be free from these addictions that I deal with. I'm going to be free to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm going to be free from the control of sin. I'm going to be free from toxic and small thinking. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where is it right now that you need to experience a release of freedom in your life? Because I'm here to let you know that Jesus has come to set you free. But here's the last thing that I want to give you, that he's not only come to release faith in your life and freedom in your life, but he's also come to release favor into your life. So notice what Jesus says here. To proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, watch this, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Everybody say favor. What is God's favor? Well, to understand this in a greater way, you got to understand that, once again, Jesus is reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And when Isaiah mentions the year of the Lord's favor, it's actually a callback to a special time in the life of God's people in the Old Testament known as the year of Jubilee. And in the Old Testament, what the year of Jubilee was, it was a time where every 50 years, all debts were canceled, and people who found themselves enslaved to others were set free. Things that needed to be paid for were paid for. Blessings that God had for people were released into people's life. I'm here to let you know that this season of favor, that year of Jubilee that we saw in the Old Testament, Jesus has ultimately come and fulfilled it through his perfect life, through his death on the cross, and through his resurrection, where all of our sin debts have been canceled, past, present, and future. He has come to usher in a time a favor. What does this word favor mean? It means that God has set his approval on you. It means, let me say it like this, he's put his name on you. It means that he has sent his approval, and his approval brings blessings. What kind of blessings does this look like? It's spiritual blessings. It is physical blessings. It may be tangible blessings. It may be relational blessings. It's what Jesus says here, the restoration of the sight of the blind. People who have lost sight, recovery of sight to the blind. It is helping us to understand that the favor of God is when God puts his name on you. And I'm here to let you know that whenever he puts his name on you, ultimately through faith in Jesus Christ, when his name is on you, you don't have to go search for stuff, because stuff comes to search for you. Because his name is on. He surrounded us with his favor. Here's what Psalms 5:12 says. It says this, "For you, Lord, bless the righteous one. You surround him with favor like a shield." You surround him. Everybody say surround. Which means if I'm facing this way, his favor is there. If I'm facing this way, I don't know if this is east or west, but let's just pretend this is east. If I'm facing east, his favor is there. If I'm facing west, his favor is there. If I turn this way, his favor is there. That no matter where I turn, his favor is constantly surrounding me like a shield. And I don't know about y'all, but I love that. Because when I think about how my life can get detoured at times and how I can get some things wrong at times, the goodness of God is that even when you get things wrong, his favor is still there, surrounding you like a shield, that it doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter what you say, his favor is on your life. I need somebody to say, I'm favored by God. That's what some of us need to remember this year. His favor is on you. When you say yes to Jesus and when you receive him as Lord and Savior, his favor is on your life. His name is on your life. And whenever God puts his name on something, it's worth something. It's valuable. It brings blessings in the form of his power, provision, and purpose. I want to let you know that whatever you stand in need of and whatever you might stand in need of this year, y'all, you want to know what the answer to it is? God's favor. Can I let you know this? God's favor, or another word for it is God's grace. God's grace will get you things that your grind cannot. You think that the key to you possessing everything that God has for you is simply to work harder. I'm here to let you know that God is not opposed to work, but what he is opposed to is trusting and believing that your work is the sole answer to everything that you have. I'm here to let you know that you need his grace on your life. Because grace and favor will get you into places that your own name can't get you in. His favor will get you in job interviews that you don't even qualify for. His favor will cause doctors to see one thing on a report, and then months later that thing has disappeared. That's called the favor of God. And this year, y'all, you and I need his favor. This is why David says, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. That no matter where I turn, his favor is following me. When I get it right, his favor, there it is again, it's following me. When I get it wrong, there it is again. His favor is following me. When I get off track and I'm doing my own thing and I'm going against the will of God and the word of God, there it is. His favor, called grace and love and mercy, are still following me today. And I'm here to let you know that the only real reason why you and I made it through 2023 was not because of you. It wasn't because of your ethic. It wasn't because of your work ethic. It was because of the favor of God. And the only way you and I will make it through another year is not going to be because of our own strength. It is going to be because of the favor of God. It's going to be because of the mercy of God. It's going to be because of the grace of God. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that's grateful for the favor of God that is at work on our life? And y'all, do you know what's so cool about favor? There's nothing you can do to earn it. God says, I'm going to give it to you, not because you're good, but because I'm good. I'm going to do you a solid. I'm going to do you a favor. Not because you got it all right, but because I love you. I don't know if you've ever been on the receiving end of that. Parents in here, some of y'all can identify with this, because there's been plenty of times where maybe your children maybe did some things that weren't cool with you and didn't agree with you, but then you still decided to bless them in a great way. Can I let you know that's the same thing that your heavenly Father in heaven has done? That there's been so many times where you and I missed the mark. Oh my gosh, there's been so many times where I have blown it, and I have blown it royally. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God's favor and his grace showed up. Come on, grace has got us in places that we're trying to still figure out today. How did I get here? It was because of his grace and favor. I will take God's favor over my finessing any day of the week. There's only so much finessing you can do. But his favor, God's favor is one of the greatest things to receive. Favor will get you into places that your grind can't. Favor will cause people to do things for you and they don't understand why they're doing it for you. Favor will cause people to apologize for how they wronged you years ago. Favor will cause others to be a blessing to you who can't stand you at all. Favor will cause you to walk in an abundance of purpose and power that will blow your mind, where you have yourself and you're looking at yourself like, how? I don't even have the skill to be able to do this. How is this working? It's working because God is at work. Favor. Everybody say favor. And I wanted you to understand this, just as I close this message, I want you to recognize, family, that this favor, this freedom, this faith that Jesus wants to release, that we're in need of, only he can bring it. And verse 21, y'all, says something so powerful that I want us to see here. Here's what it says, y'all. And this is what I really get excited about. Verse 20, let's back up. It says, he then rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. I didn't say this in the first service. I'm going to teach you for a quick second. Y'all got some time? You got some time? You got a quick second? Quick second. You good? Check your watch. You good? Some of y'all are like, Pastor, just say it, right? Whenever the priest would sit down in the temple, it means that the job was done. So when the Bible says in Hebrews that our high priest sat down at the right hand of the Father, he says, and ultimately saying to us, it's done. It's handled. I've taken care of it. Which then makes sense as to why he says what he says next. Verse 21. He began by saying to them, today as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. I love this because here's what Jesus is saying. Y'all heard about this back in Isaiah's time. Y'all been reading about it in this time. But the day has come where it has been fulfilled. And it's here right now. Can I say this as well? It was true 2,000 years ago when he read it on the spot. And he has all power in his hand today. He is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. Can I help you understand something? Just as it was fulfilled back then, that principle is still applicable right now. That release isn't just something that was on the way. No, 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 no. Release is something that is here and it is available for you and I to experience today. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that is saying 2024 is going to be my year of release? It's not something that I'm hoping is going to come. No, it's something that I believe is happening right now. It's not just something that I believe God has promised. No, I believe it is something that God has produced. It's here. It is the year of release. Next week when we start this whole new series, Breakthrough, I'm going to help us to walk in this release so this can continue to be a reality in our life every single day. Because the word for release, the word of release is not meant to be a seasonal thing. It's meant to be a way of life. Which is why Jesus says later on in John chapter 8 that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Which means that what he wants us to walk in, y'all, this year, it's not meant to be just momentarily. It's meant to be a way of life. Y'all, there was things that I struggled with in my college years. Purity and sexuality, all these different types of things. You know, chasing girls, all this good stuff, all crazy stuff. And struggled with different things. God, I need you to break this. And I remember it was around the midpoint of college, around like 2007, where I was brought to the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And it said that he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And what God had me to do, he says, every single day, I want you to remind yourself not of who you were and what you did, but who I made you to be in Christ. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And y'all, the minute I began to reflect on that scripture, that struggle went away like that. It was broken. And I know for some of us, you're like, Pastor, it don't happen that easy. I'm here to let you know it can. But you know what the key is? We'll talk about this next week. You got to receive it by faith. Do you know what these people did? I didn't read this earlier, but go back home and read it. Do you know what happens next in this text? The people wanted to throw Jesus off a cliff. They rejected the word, not received it. And they stayed in bondage. And what I'm asking us to do, don't be like those people that we see later on in the text, reject it. Be somebody who receives it. Receive it by faith. God, I want to receive everything that you have for me this year. I don't want to settle for less. I'm sick of settling. I'm ready to walk in the fullness of what you have for me. And I believe that some of you are here today, and that's your prayer. You're sick of settling. I'm sick of living with leftovers. I want the fullness of what God has for me. It doesn't mean that it won't be a struggle at times. It doesn't mean that you won't face difficulty, no. But what it means is that even when you face difficulty, you don't have to fight the battle yourself because you got the God of all armies fighting for you. His favor is resting upon me. I want to invite us all to stand to our feet this moment. I want you to know that this is the year of release. That what was doesn't have to be. I believe that some of you are here today, and over these next few weeks, we're going to have some intentional time of prayer at the end of service. I'm going to invite you to come to the front at the end of service over these next few weeks as we're in this series, Breakthrough, because I believe that some of us in here, you've been walking around with so much bondage in your life for so long. It's shaped everything in your life, but I want you to know that Jesus has come to set you free. He's come to release favor into your life. But you can't experience this release without him. You can't experience new beginnings without him. The Bible says that any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old is past and the new has come. Any person who's in Christ, which means if you're not in Christ, you don't experience it. But when you come to Christ, to ask you this with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, today I need to come to Jesus. I don't have a relationship with him. Today I need to say yes to him. If this is your desire, if this is your heart's cry, I need to say yes to Jesus. I want to come into a relationship with him. I want to let you know your life will never get right without Jesus. It's not. But with Jesus, life begins to move the way it's created and designed to move according to his plan. So if you're here today and you've never said yes to Christ, you've never invited him into your life, you've never said, I want him as my Lord and Savior, you never said, I want to enter into a relationship with him, just my heads bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to just shoot up your hand. If this is you and you're saying, today I want to come to Jesus, today I want to start a new chapter in my life with Christ. If this is you today, on the count of three, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just shoot up your hand so I can see you. 1, 2, 3. If this is you, if this is you, if you're here today and you're saying, I want to say yes to Jesus today, just shoot up your hand. I just want to see you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I just want to see you. You want a new beginning? You want to start afresh? You want these sins to be cleansed? If you're here in person and online and you raise your hand, I want you to say these words. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate God for all those who are starting new life in Christ today, online and in person? If you're online and you say yes to Jesus, I want you to text the word, I decided to 94,000. We want to follow up with you. If you're here in this place, I want you to take the connection card that's either in the seat pocket in front of you or in the seats that you're sitting in. You said yes to Christ, or maybe you're coming back to him today. I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. Fill that out. Before you leave, I want you to drop it in the drop box so that way we can follow up with you and share some next steps in your faith journey. Amen, somebody.